This is the How to Feel the Hard Stuff Without Eating call. We are feelings focused, allowing feelings, understanding our nervous systems a little bit. Hello, Bernadette, Kim, Trina. I feel like, do y'all remember Romper Room, the Magic Mirror? That's what this feels like. If you would like to be coached tonight because you are having trouble with a feeling, with accepting a feeling, with feeling a feeling, and all you want to do is eat, please raise your hand. Let's coach. Let's talk. We will. Mara says, "Hi, Coach Kathy. I put stickies around my space all day for this call." Well, good. Excellent. Excellent. Does anybody want to be coached tonight? Anybody want to talk to me? Anybody at all? I thought if I had no hands, I would talk for a minute. Do y'all like it when I do that? Like it when I talk? My nervous system teacher, Leah Davidson, who has her own podcast called Building Resilience, has a three-step safety sequence that I'm going to share with you tonight. Now, safety, why is safety important? Safety is what has us at home base, has us feeling safe. We are usually, very few of us ever get physically unsafe. You know, like there's nobody at the doorway with a machete. There's nobody, you know, there's not a tornado coming. Usually, most of the time, we are physically safe. But what we want is to also feel safe. And feeling safe is a little bit different. So we can either have that calmed, settled, safe feeling, or we can create safety around feeling a feeling. So raise of hands. I bet not going to have very many. How many of you feel safe feeling anxious? Probably not very many, right? But that's because we have associated anxiety with something bad. If we look at it as a signal, it might not be so unsafe to feel. It might be, I wonder why I'm feeling anxious right now, or curiosity, right? So here's the three-step sequence that I think is brilliant. It's asking yourself, step one, am I safe? And this goes to the empirical safety. Are you in a safe place? You know, is there any crazy weather headed your way? You know, is there a guy at the door with a machete? No. Am I safe? The answer is usually yes. The second step is to ask yourself, do I feel safe? Okay, if the answer is yes, you don't need step three. But if the answer is no, not really, I'm really worried about something, or I'm mad about something, or I'm frustrated with something, or whatever, to me, it goes two steps from there. The first is relax the body. Y'all, I'm always telling you, lower your shoulders, slouch your core. Stress can't live in a relaxed body. When you are stressed, when you're upset, everything is all tensed up, right? Right? You're on alert. If you relax the body, then everything feels a little bit like more doable. So relax the body is first, but you also have to like work on your brain a little bit, tell a different story, talk to yourself a little bit more kindly, look for why is this way? What is the normalizing piece to this? Right? So that's how it works. You know, am I safe is almost always yes. Now, granted, every now and then we are not safe for one reason or another, but usually we are safe. Do I feel safe? And then relax the body, retell the story. Does that make sense? A lot of the ways I teach to relax the body are things like breathing or walking or sunshine. You can also, right here at your desk, put your hand on your heart, press in a little bit, and tell yourself something that feels good, like, I can figure this out. I know my next step. You know, sometimes when we're overwhelmed or anxious, we're thinking way too far in the future. I know my next step helps. can call my friend. They'll help me. I can ask for help. Right? So putting your hand right here on your heart, pressing in just a little bit, and giving yourself something reassuring can create safety, can create a little bit of release of that tension. So I came across this post on Instagram. Self-soothing statements when you need them. Okay. Still don't have any hands. I'm gonna need some hands. Self-soothing statements while you're when you need them. Number one, I'm safe in this moment. That's easy, right? Number two, I can take things one breath at a time. That's interesting, right? One breath at a time. How about this feeling is temporary? You like that one? Or maybe I will get through this. It's usually the truth, right? How about I don't have to solve everything right now? I was just talking to one of my private clients about this. She said, it feels like I have to make all the decisions today, all the decisions at once. I said, no. You just have to make one at a time. You just make one decision, and that usually informs the next decision, and then the next decision. So I love that one. I don't have to solve everything right now. Then here's another one. It's okay to feel this way. My feelings are valid and will pass. I think too often, y'all, we invalidate our feelings. I shouldn't feel this way. I don't want to feel this way. When our feelings are as personal to us as the color of our hair and the color of our eyes, right? You don't want to invalidate anything about you. You want to honor it. You want to normalize it. You want to understand it. Here are a few more. I'm stronger than this moment feels. I'm not alone. Support is available if I need it. I'm allowed to take care of myself right now. I am not my thoughts. I am the observer of my thoughts. Let's talk about what that one means. Talking to another private client today. I've talked to a lot of people today. And she's telling me all the reasons she can't lose weight and keep it off. And I was like, how many of those are really true? And how many of those are just what you think? How many of those are what you have practiced thinking for all these years? What if you just watch those thoughts come in? And she actually sent me an article, which is fascinating. Talks about how the way to manage that kind of thing is to watch the thoughts come in and then tell a different story. Okay? Just because you think a thought doesn't mean it's true. Just because you think, I'll never keep this weight off, doesn't mean it's true. Do you know that? Do you have a crystal ball? I asked another client today, are you a mystic? She started laughing. I am the observer of my thoughts. It's almost like you have a little Coach Kathy or Coach Lizzie or Coach Betsy on your shoulder, right? How can you watch what you're thinking? Think about what you're thinking, evaluate it, assess it, and decide. Is that really what I want to run with? Or is that one for, for the waste bin? You're welcome, all you Great Britain people. So think about that. Think about that. So Kim says, so we basically have to play whack-a-mole with our thoughts sometimes. Yeah. Yeah. I went through a period about 10 years ago where I was very, very hard on myself. Thoughts like, I'll never get this. I'm not good enough to keep this job. I don't know what they were thinking when they hired me. Very, very hard on myself and how I showed up for work. Okay. 10 years later, every now and then those thoughts still come in, but they don't have the punch that they used to have. They don't have that gut punch, that heat that they used to have. So the thoughts, when you're playing whack-a-mole, you kind of go, no, not that one. No, not that one. How can I work? How can I massage that one a little bit? I don't want it to sound like, you're beating down thoughts all the time, but you're evaluating them. You're kind of like, assessing whether or not you want to act on that thought. And as you do that, as you begin to retell the story around the thoughts might come a little bit less frequently and they won't have so much of a punch, but it takes time and patience and practice and a little bit of, I can figure this out, and feeling safe. Okay, questions? All right, I have one hand. We have Audrey.
Hi, I did pull the
Hello.
car over.
Thank you. Thank you.
It did work. When I heard you say that I still have no hands, I thought, well, we can solve that problem.
Yep.
I have been talking to you about this, and I'm a lot better about my knee surgery day after tomorrow.
You have it day
I
after tomorrow?
day after tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. Are you having, tell me again, you're having a total knee replacement, right? Awesome. Been there, done that. Got the hard way.
Yesterday, the hospital called. Well, first of all, we had already been told with the two policies that we have, it's going to be zero out of pocket, which is a miracle.
Yeah,
But
that's amazing. Who
because
t
we were looking
so
at,
so
we
tell me
thought
who
six
told you that?
grand.
Tell me who told you that.
The insurance company.
Okay, perfect.
And then yesterday, the hospital called for their little pre, they ask you all the questions that you've already filled out on the forms 19 times. And it's just somebody reading the computer. I know it's not a big deal. But then he said, and your copay is 6,000. And I was like, well, if it's 10 grand or $0, I got to have it done. But I think my question is, maybe this comes with practice and time. Calming the nervous, like the immediate, and not being able to calm that down for like several hours. I mean, the logic, and there wasn't really much going on that I could do. I did get out. I get out in the sunshine. I did connect with a friend. But I think my question is there a way, because there's no telling, what's coming in the summer. It's not a typical summer for me. I'm a school teacher, and I'm on my only day of summer is today and tomorrow. And then I'm not sure what is ahead for recovery. So I'm sure there's going to be another surprise, like, wow, that hurts, or oh my goodness. I'm sure there's going to be another one. If it's not with the knee, it'll be something else. How do I learn to regulate quicker?
Okay. So first of all, you and I talked a little bit about this hospital situation. I wanted to tell you a story. I thought about you.
It's zero. I found out today. They're
Right.
lying.
Right. Well, I thought about you because I have a doctor's appointment on Thursday and they do these, input questionnaires and stuff. And it told me my copay was $45, which I fully expected. And then I get further down the survey and it tells me it's $184. I was like, no.
Pick
I
one.
mean, I just went straight to no. And if they ask me for that $148, I'm going to tell them I need you to file that with my insurance first because I don't want to have to deal with a refund because you're going to be refunding me. I have that assurance. I know that. Okay. So that's when it comes to that kind of stuff. I don't know what kind of algorithms these places, I don't know what kind of estimators they use, but I find all the time that they're wrong. But to your point, sometimes you are correct. Sometimes something will happen that will send you straight up, right? It can be a fire alarm. It can be a $6,000 bill. It can be the tornado siren outside of the Publix gets me every Saturday morning, every first Saturday morning of the month. I mean, okay. Even though I know it's coming, it still, raises my anxiety level. Okay, so how can you come back faster? I'm going to tell you more what not to do than what to do. All right, so specific to your $6,000, because you and I worked with this a little bit, right? You can't ruminate. Ruminating, over-focusing, all that kind of stuff is going to keep you right above. You're feeding the story.
Which is what I did yesterday.
Which is what you did, exactly what you did, because I saw it in Ask Coaches. It seems like I saw it somewhere else too.
It
Did you put
was,
it in the Facebook group too?
I don't think so, but I did respond and ask coaches.
Okay, maybe that's
And
what it is.
I put attention Kathy, so
Yeah, well, that's why it caught my eye. So if you ruminate, you are not allowing your system to process the feeling and come down. You are feeding, amplifying the feeling, whatever feeling that was. Let
oh, so gas on fire.
Yes. Gas on, either gas on fire, or you can call it just adding twigs. You're just adding twigs to, you're just keeping the fire going.
As
Okay.
opposed to pouring sand or water on it.
As opposed to just kind of taking a breath and calling out one of these things I was saying, like, there's got to be a mistake here. Let me just take a minute, take a breath, and either set it aside for now or figure it out.
It
Okay.
took me until I made face-to-face contact with a friend to kind of talk through, and then it, and she said, it doesn't matter what it costs. You're having surgery Thursday morning. There's nothing you can do. And I knew that it wasn't true, but then I thought, what if? And they said, well, we don't have that information. So called insurance. Oh no, you're right. It's $0. And they said, well, get, I'm speed putting a rush on it, because usually it's 24 to 48 hours. And they said, putting a rush on it. So I thought, I'm going to give the left hand time to talk to the right hand. And 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, I'm calling. At 10 o'clock tomorrow, when I called them, they both said, yes, $0. And I was like,
So when you said, I'm going to give the left hand time to talk to the right hand. Did you feel your nervous system come back down? You know why? Because you stopped feeding it. Right? Because you just kind of said, all right, this is going to take that. There was some subconscious, we're going to figure
well,
this out.
I
This is
guess
going
it's
to
a
take care
form
of it.
of meditation, but I also sang some hymns. I like old hymns of the
Oh,
church, of the
wow. Yeah.
faith. And so I sang through some of those, you know, like Trust and Obey and I Surrender All, and those, some of those oldies but goodies. And there's just something calming about that. I guess it's a form of meditation in a way. So
100%. It's
I
also a
think
form
I
of
did out
connection.
of high. A what?
It's a form of connection.
Oh,
So it's
yes.
connection back to what you need to self, but it's also connection to a higher power.
It's also, I tried really hard to think about the pillars, and you know what to do, and you know the deep breathing. I watched you tapping last week. I think it was last week. I actually ended up being coached on Lisa's Tuesday call, and she taught me the one about the roof of the mouth and this one. And breathing. So I thought, I tried them all. I thought, certainly, eventually something's gonna work. So that helps me to know I can think of it as pouring gas on a fire or water on the fire. I can think of it like that.
Yeah. So there are six F words that amplify a feeling, that keep a feeling or your nervous system up. Okay. Let's see if I can remember them all. Focusing. Look, I've got them written down right here. I'm just going to pull my notebook out. Fear is number one. Every time you fear a feeling or fear a situation, you actually amplify it because it draws attention to it. Fear draws attention to what you're afraid of. Number two is focus. It creates a situation in which you will always be watching for it. You're overthinking it. You're
Okay.
focusing too hard on it, which is
That's my middle
ruminating,
name.
right?
Yes.
Number three is frustration. That's resentment or loss. I'm really mad that this is happening to me. I'm really mad that I have this feeling. I don't want to have this feeling. I'm frustrated with myself for feeling this. Okay. Number four is fighting it. That's resistance. I don't want to feel this way. I'm just not going to feel this way. Resistance. How many people have heard what you resist persists? That's because you're drawing attention to it. You're amplifying it. Number five is trying too hard to figure it out or fix it. Okay. I've got this pain in my left shoulder, and maybe it's a maybe I don't want to have this pain, and maybe I should like cut off my arm, or lay on my other side, or take 14 Advil, or something. No, don't try too hard. Just try one thing at a time. Okay, just one thing at a time. And the last one is feeling sorry for yourself. I think I've hit you on these, Audrey. You keep going.
All six of them.
Abandoned, sad, yearning, all that can keep you stuck in that feeling as well. Okay.
And
The
what was
antithesis is to allow the feeling to be there, to wreck it, to name it, to normalize it. Of course I'm stressed. They just told me I owe $6,000, and somebody else told me I didn't. And maybe you just sit with it and go, okay, we're just going to hang out with this feeling for a minute, not ruminate on it, not try too hard to figure it out or hate on it. We're just going to like let the right hand talk to the left hand, and I'll follow up tomorrow.
And you said these are the six what
F's.
of
Amplifying a feeling, of keeping a
okay.
feeling, keeping your nervous system jacked, keeping a feeling amplified.
Okay.
Pretty good stuff,
Thank
isn't
you.
it? Yeah.
Thank you.
You're
I'll
welcome.
probably post that post op that I'm okay. I may be a little drunk, but I will let you know.
So, few things to watch for from a knee replacement person here. You're going to have trouble sleeping. Get ready for that. Okay. And it's not just the discomfort, it's the inactivity, all that kind of stuff. Be patient with yourself. Rest when you can. Okay. I think you and I have talked about an ice machine, right? You have an ice machine. Girl, best invention ever. You're going to come home with a nerve block, so you're not going to feel anything until that wears off. Stay ahead of the pain, especially in the first week or two. Okay. I came off the pain meds about 2 weeks in and went to just Advil and Tylenol. It was uncomfortable, but I don't like the effects of the pain meds because they affect my bathroom habits. I love my bathroom habits, so make sure you stay ahead of that too. Movement is your friend. Don't just sit in a chair all day. Walk around the house, get out your little walker. I'm a little walker. Get out your little walker. Do what you can. Oh, and the last one. My husband helped me get a big trash bag and taped it with like surgical tape so that I could take a shower. Tape it around the top of the bag. All right. So I think we used a, oh, you know what? We didn't use a trash bag. We used Saran wrap. We wrapped my surgical area, my big bandage, in Saran wrap and put surgical tape around the top of it so that I could take a shower when they told me it was time. Okay.
Awesome. Okay.
All right.
Thank
You
you
got
so
this.
much, Kathy.
Millions of
Thank
people do it. All right. You take care. Look, I could talk about knee replacements all day long, y'all. All day long. Lori, I'm not drinking a beer. It is water with orange vanilla squeezy stuff in it. Although a beer would be nice. A beer would be nice. I'm glad to be here doing a lot of things that are good for me, but feel like it's a lot. I'm juggling all these new things, which feels overwhelming, even though I feel better physically and mentally. Kathleen, overwhelm is you trying to make everything in the world the same amount of importance, the same level of importance. It's not. So when you are overwhelmed, I want you to think of the things that you're thinking about and decide what the easiest thing to accomplish is that'll have the biggest impact. And go to work one step forward on that. Okay. Mara, you're next. How are you?
Overwhelmed, frustrated, beating myself up. I've had a rough few months and just trying to hold it all together. But I keep saying to myself, well, I'm not 500 pounds like I was. I've been able to maintain my weight, but it just doesn't feel good. So my husband had four, five heart attacks in a span of a week, the last week in October, first week in November. He ended up having a triple heart bypass surgery, a stent put in, then was in ICU until the end of December, then rehab. And while all that was going on, I found out that he was cheating on me. And that didn't go over well.
I guess not.
And then we moved because his job, we lived too far. We kind of tried to do halfway in between each other's jobs, and that just wasn't working for him. So we're up in the woods of no New Hampshire. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But I feel like my husband's taken all of my safety things away to feel safe. Like my friends are now 2 hours away. My sister's probably an hour and 15 minutes. And I have a new job with new kids that I have in 32 years I've never seen such belligerent behavior, and it's been a real change for me. And just trying to every day, I say to myself on my way to work, because I have a beautiful ride to work now. I go by the lake, I can see the sunrise, I can, and I keep saying, just do one thing, just pick one thing. But then towards the middle of the day, I'm beating myself up again, you know. Or
Over what? What are you beating yourself up over?
I think it's probably just what all happened in between those months. And
Be specific. Tell me what you're beating yourself up over, so I have some kind of something to work with.
I think I'm beating myself up over just stress, like the stress of a new job, the stress of moving away, the stress of having a new house, the stress of
What are you telling yourself that's the beatdown?
that I should have seen what was coming with my husband. And I also tell myself, well, why are you staying with him? But we've been married for 30 years.
Okay,
And
so let's pause there. Should have seen what was coming. Okay. Is that true? Should you have seen? Why should you have seen? What should you have seen? Do you have a crystal ball? Are you a mystic?
No.
Like,
No, I just I missed all the signs that people say, you know, you see when your husband's cheating on you or what. And I should have known when he was so protective over his phone that I couldn't even get near it.
all right, so let me ask you this. If he had never cheated before, and I'm assuming he had not, why would you even look for the signs?
True.
Right?
True.
I think what you're doing, your hindsight is 20/20. We can always look back and say, I wish I had XYZ or ABC or whatever. Right? We always, but that's the beauty of hindsight, except it's never really reality. Because that's not what happened. Crane calls it arguing with the past. If you argue with the past, you're always going to lose because you can always see what you wish you had done or think you should have done, right? But it's not what you did do. You trusted him. All right? That, to me, that's not your failure. His cheating is his failure. It's not your failure. Maybe you didn't see it, but I wouldn't be looking either. I've been married for 30, 8 years, almost 39 years. I wouldn't be looking.
Mm-hmm.
You moved to where you moved because it was a decision that you made together with this man who you trusted.
True. Yep.
Right? So it's all about the story that you tell. Right? You're telling a story like you are responsible for something you didn't know was happening.
Right.
Right? I should have seen what was coming. Does anybody on this call think she should have seen what was coming? Or is she just living her married life? Right? No. Beth says no. No. Now you have information. Okay? Now you can look back and go, well, he was protective of that phone. Okay. I'll catalog that in case I need to use that again. All right. But that's not your failure in my mind. Do you think it's, do you really think it's your failure? Or is what I'm saying, am I just pie in the sky over here?
I don't, probably not.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably true, it's so hard to walk away from that feeling that I caused it or I should have known or.
Okay. So that's your brain trying to close a loop. It's trying to look for the reason that you're hurting because he did this.
Right.
Okay. So let's give it a reason. Is it your, it, you know, what is the reason that you're hurting?
Well, the fact that he almost died.
Okay. There's one reason, and you took care of him, right?
Yeah. Moving away from my friends, leaving my job of 12 years, coming to the Wild Sticks, and also I feel like I've let myself down because, I mean, I've been staying on program, but I haven't done all the things. And it's hard. I still have my little Corinne on my shoulder that says, she'll cackle every once in a while. But then I say to myself, well, I haven't gained any weight back. So that's good,
That's amazing, given what you've gone through. Job change, husband cheating, husband in ICU with all these bypasses and stents, moving. I think that's a huge victory that you haven't gained any weight back.
I keep telling myself that, but I don't know whether it's anxiety, nerves, what it is. And I've been trying to figure that out so that I can feel better
Yeah.
without
So
having to go to food.
right now, you're stressed about your job and you're stressed about your husband. It's going to be hard to like feel amazing. Okay. But what amplifies the feeling here for you is the self-talk. I should have seen this coming. I should have known. I shouldn't have done this. I should have done that. That self-talk is what
It's what
amplifies it for you.
got it.
Okay. When you place responsibility where it goes and you don't argue with the past and you stay present and figure out how you're going to manage today, you feel more controlled. I have a feeling you haven't felt very controlled lately.
No.
Right? So when you don't feel controlled, you don't feel safe. But the way to feel controlled is those little bitty things, decisions that you can make that are for you. For instance, do you know what you're having for dinner tonight?
Yes, I had a lean cuisine meal because that was what I wanted and knew that it would satisfy
Okay.
everything. And then I also went the extra yard last night to make chocolate chia seed pudding, which is amazing, so that I can have that as a dessert.
Okay. So you feel controlled in what you are eating tonight. That's good. That's a great thing. What else are you doing tonight that feels controlled? That feels like you're in control? Are you watching what you want on TV?
I am.
What are you watching?
I'm watching the Richard Simmons thing on with Diane Sawyer.
Okay. All right. So,
And
and when you said that, you smiled. So you must be a Richard Simmons fan.
I am, to be
Okay.
honest, I also went out and worked out with him in Los Angeles a few times.
Beautiful.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So you have control over what you're going to watch tonight. You have control over what time you're going to go to bed tonight. You see how micro pieces of control kind of feel good, right? You have control over getting up, taking a shower, and getting in the car tomorrow. Right? Now, when you walk in the classroom, you might not feel like you have control of all the kids or control of what's going to happen during the school day. But when you feel overwhelmed like that, when you feel frustrated and loss of control there, you break it down into those small little pieces. What's the first thing you're going to teach? What's the first activity the kids are going to have? When are they going to recess? Whatever those little bits of control are, of planning are, is how you bring in that control.
And plus, I guess I've been a step ahead of myself all day. It's supposed to rain tomorrow and through Friday. So that means no outside. That means being in those two rooms for 8.5 hours. So trying to plan things that I know will help them stay in control, and I guess double as my control.
Well, thank goodness for weather forecasts, right?
Right.
So you can plan. So you can at least bring in some ideas of how you're going to maintain control for yourself and for them. Yeah. So you bring it back into these small pieces. This is like just like what I was talking to Kathleen about with overwhelm. When you think about the little small pieces that you can control, like what you're going to have for dinner, whether or not you're going to drink another glass of water, when you're going to go to bed, what you're going to watch on TV. Those things seem small, but it feels good to know that you're in the driver's seat, right? Okay.
It's just been crazy. Like, I focus this week on tracking, just writing my food down and saying, okay, good job.
Yeah.
You've done that. That's
Yes. Yes.
back on the path. So,
Mm-hmm.
but yeah.
How did you manage to not gain weight through all this? What were you telling yourself? How did you show up?
So I've always had this saying that I'm never gonna deny myself something. Because if I kind of go through, do I really need it? Why do I need it? Is there something else that I can do in the meantime to, I wish it away or delay? For instance, jelly beans. I love Starburst jelly beans beyond belief.
Okay.
And I have them in the house because I feel that I need to have control over them, and it's not just grab assing because I want to. So I every time I go to think about having jelly beans, I stop myself and think, okay, do you really need that? Is that kind of what your goal is, to eat them and then you're going to be unhappy later on? And I second guess, I not second guess, I question myself several times before I actually have them. And then I count them out as I do so that I know that what the serving size is and say to myself, okay, when these 12 are gone, that's it. You're done. And I have kind of learned to control food to some extent. I will say on Sunday I didn't because we were at the rink and there's a grilled cheese place in that rink and their grilled cheeses are great. And I said to my husband on the phone, I said, I'm gonna get a grilled cheese before I leave tonight because that's what I want for dinner. And I got it, and on the way home, I would pause and put it down so that I could savor it because I know I also when I eat like fast and stuff because I have had gastric bypass. It was many, many years ago. But I do get sick if I eat something too fast. I just can't process. So I know the bad end of that deal, and I don't like it when it happens. So I have to get used to eating it slower and stopping. And I've just tried when I do that to just kind of savor it and, you know, be
So
with it.
you exercise a lot of control with your eating and with your decisions about eating.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how come you haven't gained any more weight. Seriously.
It just and the fear is still there to regain, even with that control.
Well, all right. So the fear is there. Why do you think the fear is there? Let's normalize the fear. Why do you think the fear is there?
Because I really don't want to go back to being 350 pounds. And I was not healthy at that weight, and I've come so far since I started on this journey before my mom passed away. And I don't feel good when I gain weight.
So we have this fear, and it lives over here. And it's always going, we really don't want to be 350 pounds again. Okay. I, you know, there's part of me that has that fear too. Okay. My heaviest was 230 pounds. And after I had the breast cancer and got on the meds, my weight started creeping up. And I experienced fear because I didn't want to be 230 pounds again or more. But when we can take the fear and understand it and not like focus on it, not fight it, but just understand it, it does kind of dissipate, right? You don't live in fear all the time.
No.
So when we think about it and we're like, I really don't want to be 350 pounds again or 230 pounds again because I didn't feel good. I couldn't walk. I was sick all the time, whatever it was, then you can breathe and say, I understand the fear. And it's not going to last forever. It's going to dissipate. And that's how you kind of let it pass through. Now, does it come up every now and then? Sure, it is. But you don't have to be the fear. You don't have to live in the fear. And you certainly don't want to act from the fear because that brings a lot of tension and pressure too. What you want to do is act from that feeling of controlled. Because this is what I understand. I know how to count my jelly beans. I know how to taste every bite and savor it. And I know how to tell myself I'm done.
That's a for me, that's a really big win because probably before I joined and whatnot, it really took over my life, and being able to savor that and say, okay, that's enough. And going with the idea, I'm not going to deny myself anything, because obviously my body needs it for something.
Or you just enjoy it. God gave you
Right.
taste buds.
Yep.
Right.
And even for the ice cream, I haven't been able to have ice cream since my gastric bypass, but there are just some days. Okay, if you have this, you're gonna regret it later on. But if that's gonna make you feel good in the moment, have at it.
Just so you know the currency you pay when you decide to eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And
And
it, it
that's part of the control. It doesn't surprise you.
right.
You've made a conscious decision based on your evaluation.
Yes.
So how are we going to get you out of this stall? What needs to happen to get you out of this stall?
I think I need to keep writing down my food. I need to keep listening to the podcast on my way to work, because I know the times when I really, as my trainer put it, is dialed in is when I'm doing that daily. And whether it's on the way in or the way out, whether it's, times when Brian's working, and like I am tonight, he's working, and I was like, great, Kathy's gonna be on tonight. I'm gonna finally get there.
And I get to watch Richard Simmons.
Yes. And have my chocolate chia seed pudding. I tell you, it's just amazing. So to just sometimes I think of Corinne as a reward. Like I've gotten through some hard stuff, but then and then I get to listen to her and say, okay, I did that, but maybe I should try another way,
I think the
I just
important
love
thing,
her.
we all do for sure. I think
Yep.
the important thing for you is to stay controlled, especially in your self-talk. Okay. When you hear yourself say, I should have known, or I should have seen, or I should have, I want you to go, no. I'm not a myth. Kathy says I'm not a mystic. Right?
Right. Yep.
I am handling today in the best way I know how.
And
And then tomorrow.
if it's baby steps, it's baby steps.
That's right. That's right. And tomorrow I'll handle tomorrow. The best way I know how, given what I know right now, I'm doing the very best I can. That's the change in the story that needs to happen for you.
Yeah.
Stop thinking about what you should have, could have, thought you could, whatever, done. None of that can't change it. It's happened, it's written,
Yep.
right?
Yep.
But you write today with every single decision, and you create your future with every decision that you make today.
Yep. That
Now,
I do.
did I answer all of your questions?
I think so. I just needed to talk it through because I really haven't had time to really kind of start to process everything and be able to get back on track. So, the past couple of weeks I've just been writing food down. I've counted the jelly beans when I needed to, or the chocolate bar or whatever. And for me too, exercise is a big thing. But right now my knee is hurt, so I'm, having to not backpedal, I adjust my
Adjust.
exercise
There you go.
to be like not wearing, not weight, have weight bearing on my knee. So, yeah, I know I'm strong, and everybody has told me in the past, you're so strong, but there are days that I just don't feel it. Like,
I get it. And it's okay that you don't. All right. But what's not okay is beating yourself up because today's, I just don't feel good today. Okay. So allowing yourself to not feel great and moving through it is the best gift you can give yourself. That's how to feel the hard stuff.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. And I'm so glad I raised my hand. I wasn't going to, and I was like,
I'm glad you did too.
best do it.
I'm glad you did too.
So thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You take care,
You're
okay?
welcome.
Holler at me if you need anything.
Okay, I will. Thank
All
you.
right.
All
Okay.
right. Bye.
Lovely. Lovely, lovely. All right, let's see what's in this Q&A. I don't have any more hands, y'all. Kim says, I don't like the feeling of my hand on my heart. Is there anywhere else on my body I can create safety? Absolutely. Kim, I'm glad you brought this up. I like to refer people to the points in which I'm learning to tap. Okay. So each of these tapping points is an, they call it, they use this term called energy meridian. I'm actually going to look this up and that's what it means. But what it does is it sends a signal back to your brain that help tells you to calm down. Okay. So very often, if you don't like this, that's fine. Very often I'll find myself like touching my lip. Anybody ever touch their lip? That's a tapping point. And I didn't realize it. But this feels really good to me. When I just sit here, I think. Kim says, yeah, all the time. I think just by touching this part of my lip. And I think that's what keeps me calm and focused. So if you find a place, whether it's, Audrey was talking about tapping her fingers together, you can do that under the table. That doesn't do much for me, but it might for you. If it's right here, if it's like on the side of your eye, right here. It's funny because when we sit and think, a lot of times our hands are on our face. And that's where those energy meridians are that, those acupuncture points are that send that calming signal back to your brain. So another one you can try is right here. So you said you don't like hand on heart, but what about these collarbone points? What about a little bit higher up? You can try that one. So that's kind of the stuff I'm learning about tapping, about emotional freedom techniques. So shameless plug. There's a call on Monday night. It's the 18th of May. It's going to be about anxiety. Okay. Now, this last call, which was last week, was around nighttime eating. But what we found was we tapped on the situation that created the urge for her to eat at night. So when we talk about anxiety next week, I'm gonna bet we talk about, we tap on, we coach on what's creating the anxiety for the member that I select. Okay. Anxiety, if you think of that, is a higher energy level in your body. And it is for me anyway. So what we're going to do with tapping is we're going to bring that energy down. It's pretty fascinating stuff, y'all. It's fascinating. If you have a chance to watch the call last week, the member's name was Tab. She was very, very responsive to it. You could see the surprise on her face that it was working so well for her. So, Kim says, got it. That works. The EFT call was fabulous, by the way. I'm glad. I'm glad. I'm astounded at how effective it can be to help us manage the tension in our bodies. What else, y'all? What else? You got anything else tonight? I'm a short call. Anybody else want to talk? Anybody else want to raise their hand, ask any questions? Marcy says, I have an echocardiogram tomorrow. I've had one of those. And I'm nervous about laying there for so long because it hurts my back. I'm also uncomfortable with laying half naked, with someone touching me. Have you, Marcy, have you had an echo before? She's had two. Okay, so I had one in January. I found the person that I dealt with that did my echo to be very calming. I would tell her if I was uncomfortable, and she would make sure I was supported. So, Marcy, for you, make sure you're communicating to the tech about what you need. Now, I am not one to have myself uncovered. Okay. I'm a despite the fact that Corinne posted a picture about camp and her, uncomfortable hand on my boob. Did y'all see that? I am very, very like shy and self-conscious. I don't run around naked. I'm not that person. So I totally get it, Marcy, that you don't want to lay there uncovered. I didn't either, but my tech was very accommodating to that. She kept me covered until I couldn't be covered because she needed to work in that area. So just make sure you're communicating what you need. That's part of self-advocacy, is part of control, part of feeling good about ourselves, part of self-trust, and all those things. You said you're hoping it can be a woman. Why don't you ask for one? Ask for a woman. Seriously, ask for what you need. Okay. Vern says you can give notes to the front desk for the tech and they will send them over while you're in the waiting room. I write mine at home and hand it to them so I don't have to feel nervous going in. Huh. Awesome. Marcy, you always have a choice. You're paying for a service. That's the way I look at that. And if they don't have any females available, reschedule. So I'm going to need to have a female. It is tomorrow. Okay. Tell them you want to, when you walk in, say, my appointment is with a female, right? Can you work that out for me? I bet you can figure it out, Marcy. I watched your EFT call and it was a great help. Thank you. Can you show us how to do it when we only have a few minutes? Absolutely. You can always silently tap. Always. I do it in the shower. I usually try to couple it with something else, like habit stacking, so that I don't forget. And all it is the side of your hand, okay, this karate chop point, right? Then the top of your head and work your way down. So, top of your head, you start with the inside of the eyebrows. Then you move to the outside of your eye, right where the bone meets right at the edge of the bone. Then you move down here, just along that bone, right at the edge of the bone under your eye. You're working your way right down your face. Then under your mouth, I mean, under your nose, under your mouth, collarbone points, and under your arm. Okay, just work your way all the way down. Somebody asked me on that call to do a video for the nervous system page on the tapping points, and it's on my list. I've been really, really stacked busy the past couple of days. So I will get that to you, okay? Darlene says, I saw a woman tapping. We were line dancing and she would tap and then try to dance again. I wanted to ask her about it, but I thought it would be weird if I did. Look, if she's tapping in public, she doesn't mind you asking. I'm gonna bet. Now, if she's over in the corner and she's tapping like this and she's hiding huddled away, I might not ask. But if she's out there in the middle of line dancing and she's tapping, that's interesting. You could just say, is that EFT? Can you tell me about it? Because if she's tapping in public, if she's out there and she's tapping, she knows the benefits of it and it helps her, and she probably won't mind sharing if I had to bet. Those are my thoughts. I saw her. She sat down. And, I think it's up to you. You can ask. You can go in and say, do you mind if I ask you a question? You can ease into it. Yeah, you can, I think you can figure that out. You can decide. Anything else? Any other questions? Vern says she has extreme white coat syndrome. I put things in my file, give things to the desk. So white coat syndrome is fear, right? I have it too, especially on my oncology appointments. I go in there, my blood pressure goes whoop, and I just tell them my blood pressure is going to be higher than I take it at home. It's going to be fine. Please don't, take me to the hospital or anything. I think what that comes from, Vern, honestly, is your fear that something will be wrong or that something isn't right or something like that. We all care so much for our bodies and take care of them that we want to be as healthy as we can be. So white coat syndrome, is just basically fear of being at the doctor, fear of finding out something's wrong. So managing that, like you do with giving notes to the people, preparing your questions ahead of time. Maybe you breathe. Maybe Vern, when you're sitting in there, just tap on the side of your hand. Just a little bit. Your doctors don't go and care. And you can do it while they're, with your hands in your lap, feet on the floor, that kind of thing. Marcy says, I have a small leak in a valve. The last time I had this done and had to postpone due to my mom dying this year, I'm nervous about the results also. Okay. What I know about a small leak in the valve is that it's common. And it's, I'm certain, Marcy, that you will talk to a cardiologist and they can tell you more about what they suggest, if it's even something to worry about at this point. Small leak in a valve is super common, especially as we age. Okay. And here's the other thing. I'm nervous about the results. The results are what they are. They're already determined, right? You already have a body. You already have a heart. You're just going to take a picture of it to see more clearly how you need to care for yourself. Okay. So I want you to think about it that way. Whatever is going on inside is already there. It's not going to magically appear tomorrow. Now you have the gift of being able to know what's going on and whether or not you need to do anything with it to care for yourself. That's how I look at mammograms now. Okay, since I've had the breast cancer, I go back for my mammogram next week, almost 3 years out of breast cancer diagnosis. I'm going to tell you something. I want to know if there's anything in there that needs to be taken care of. Okay. Now, am I going to be excited if they find something else? No. But I want to know because I want to take care of it. So that's how I think about that. If there's something going on, if your leak is stable, you want to know that, right? If your leak has progressed a little bit, you want to know if you should be doing something or thinking something or monitoring it somehow, right? Because that's how you care for your body. Okay. Anything else? Anything else? All right. Y'all know where to find me. Ask coaches. You can email me at support. You can tag me in the Facebook group. I got you, as do the other coaches. All right. Y'all take care. Let me know if you need anything. Thanks for being here. All right. See ya.